This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won. Look at how far we've come. Let's fully embrace this change that is taking place.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Happy Sunday afternoon, everyone.
Happy sunny Sunday.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. It's Deacon Tom with a full tummy and Dee with a moderately full.
Yeah, moderately. I didn't have as big a meal as you did.
No, I had a very good meal. We're into prattle already. We haven't even said what
it's
this is.
Catholic vitamin Q for quench.
Ah.
With our guest, Lisa Hendy.
Dear friends, many years ago, 4.5 to be precise, we started Catholic Vitamins. And as a side note, Dee just finished a project that has been on her mind and a little bit on my mind, which is that she typed a list of all of the guests that we've had since the beginning of our show. And I looked purposely and found out that Lisa Hendy was a guest the first month that we were on Catholic Vitamins. And then she came back about 2 years later. So since she and I have had a long relationship through Catholic Mom and the Catholic Moments podcast, I'm very glad to welcome Lisa back. We'll get into all of that when we bring her up during the interview segment.
I'm happy to capture her.
I know.
When she's not on an airplane flying someplace. I can't keep up with her anymore.
I can't remember whether I said this during the interview or I thought it or whatever, but her patron saint should be Our Lady of Perpetual Motion. Yeah. Well, it is Vitamin Q for Quench.
And we're episode 219.
Finding the things in the faith that quench that thirst that we all have within us. We have contributions today from Fergal O'Neill from Ireland, from Sonia Corbett all the way from Tennessee, from Mariana Bartholomew from Illinois, and Justin Stroh. The whole clan.
Everybody's here?
The whole clan is here.
Oh, we better get moving then.
I know. We don't have a lot of prattle time. And I just want to say, Dee, by way of prattle, that when I post the show, God willing, I'm going to post some pictures on the front end page, the front page of this show, that shows some scenes from Colorado. We have a friend back in Colorado, Caroline Campion, who sent us a bunch of pictures of winter in Colorado. And two of the pictures are of the St. Malo Chapel area. The background is that I've married many couples there. Among them, are some famous people. But at any rate, I have married couples there. And recently there was a flood. Was it September of last year?
When we were there, yeah.
Yeah. Recently there was a flood that went right through that area. So two of the pictures I'm going to post show the chapel. I think it's called the Chapel of St. Catherine, if I remember correctly.
Or well known in the area as the Chapel on the Rock.
Yes, exactly, right. And then there's another picture from a different angle that shows that they're still working on recovery from the flood damage.
There was a lot of debris that came down the mountainside, was washed down the mountain and ended up right in that area by the chapel.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to post that one with the long icicles hanging off?
You know, I don't know if I saw that. The only other one that I downloaded was to show a bunch of elk around Estes Park.
Oh.
So there'll be three pictures. If you'll remind me and if I get time, I'll load another one. If you're interested in why we love Colorado, you might want to go to our front page for this show.
Even though we don't want to be there when the wind is blowing 90 miles an hour.
No.
Any other time, we love it.
Yeah. I'm wondering if we're going to get a visit back to Colorado this fall or not.
I hope so. We got to do it. Every year we have to do it.
Anything else that we should do before we move into our show?
Do you want to mention your radio station tour?
Well, listeners to Catholic Vitamins, if you've been with us for a few shows, you may have heard that Deacon Tom and some like-minded good Catholic leaders in our community have formed a nonprofit organization. We're in the very beginning stages of trying to build a Catholic radio station for our community. It will be a low-power FM station. But this week, God willing, on Thursday, we've been invited down to the Phoenix Basin, about 100 miles from here, and we're going to tour the Catholic AM radio station down there and get a tour of how they do the shows and how they bring in the satellite transmission from Immaculate Heart Radio, that network of stations. And we're going to meet with some of the people, and then we're going to go tour the antenna site. So I'm very anxious about this because it'll help us building our base of knowledge. Dear listeners, if you haven't got anything on your mind to pray for, and I know there are some very serious needs in the world and certainly among your friends and family who need prayers, but pray for Catholic Radio in North Central Arizona.
We'll have to start doing a fundraising.
Yeah.
That's not campaign.
That's not why Catholic Vitamins is here. We've always been nonprofit and non-fundraising. We've been funding this ourselves, but maybe we might have to change that, huh?
Maybe.
All right, dear friends, blessings. Thanks for being with us, and we're on our way.
Dugan Alton.
Hi, this is Justin Stroh, and welcome to this new evangelization. Sincerely, welcome to it. In other words, the new evangelization is your evangelization. It's the evangelization that's left to you to do. Your circle of influence. No one can do that but you. And you've been called to quench the thirst of those around you. Those who are thirsting for the mercy of God. Your enemies. Those who hate you. Who are looking for God, but knocking on the wrong door. They want to know, is the mercy of God real? And they need to know it through the ones whom they persecute, you and I, or whoever. Now, how is it merciful to love one's enemies, to do what is best for them? My theory is that we just be ourselves. Be who you are, of that which you are made to be. For I can only love you more, says the Lord. Open our hearts to be ourselves so that we might know the love of God in us as he loved his own Son, Jesus Christ. In obedience to God, I become more and more myself. It is precisely by avoiding sin that the presence of Jesus Christ can be known in my circle of influence. I recount all of his wonders. I rejoice in his presence. I sing psalms to him, not afraid who is hearing me. I express in inexpressible groans what I believe, that is, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God who is coming into this world. And he is coming into this world now, today, through those that unite their hearts to him, that obey his word in us. When I say those words, obey his word in us, I think about Jesus as the Word made flesh. I think about Jesus as the obedient Son who is gazing into my eyes and reminding me that we have one Father, that I belong to him, that I am a son of God. Speaking of Son of God, the film is coming out soon, so be sure that you bring all your friends before Lent begins to The Son of God, the film with just a beautiful film based on the TV series that was on History Channel. Let's all be sure that we use every opportunity to introduce everyone around us to the real, authentic presence of Jesus Christ that he has given to the entire world without any discrimination. He gives it to everyone who is willing to listen and to receive him.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
I like how he got that word quench in there very early.
He got the vitamin correctly, yes. Thank you, Justin Stroh, evangelist, speaker, musician. He's been involved in spreading the word of Christ for years and years and years. He used to be with that group Radix.
Yes, Radix, I think.
Yeah. And he now has a lovely family up in the Midwest, and he has lost 80 pounds or something like that.
He is really slimmed down.
I know he has. All right, dear, you said that you had somebody that you wanted to welcome.
Oops, excuse me. I'm rattling my ice cubes here.
All right.
Me and my ice water. Yes, I want to welcome two new members to our Friends of Catholic Vitamins Facebook page. Welcome, Michelle Arnold Payne from Massachusetts.
Oh, we know something about her, don't we?
Yes.
All right, we're going to not say anything right now.
And Melanie Williams Harvey from Tennessee, same as our Sonia.
I wonder if she came in because of Sonia, do you think?
I wonder.
Could be. Listen, dear friends, Lent is coming, and I've been thinking about this. If you have something that you have planned to quench the spirit, the thirst of the spirit that is in you, we'd like to hear about it. And we'll share this on any upcoming shows that we do during the Lenten season. So if you're doing anything other than giving up chocolates or giving up beer, we'd like to hear what it is that helps to quench the thirst that you have in you this Lent.
And maybe not what you're giving up, but maybe what you're adding.
Yes, amen. All right. Well, I think, Dee, I have heard a knock on the door, and I think Lisa Handy is ready to join us. What do you think?
Let's invite her in.
All right, here we go. Well, as you heard at the beginning of the show, we bring back a young old friend to Catholic Vitamins. Lisa Handy is with us, and Lisa, I'm going to say welcome and then share a few things. We're so very glad and happy and honored to have you back on Catholic Vitamins.
Oh, thank you, Deacon Tom. It's really a blessing to be with you.
Well, just by way of introduction to something that we're working on here, Dear D has been working on a list, an alphabetical list of the guests that we've had on Catholic Vitamins since we started 4.5 years ago. And we're up near 150, but I was looking with a smile that the name Lisa Handy was in the first month that we ever started Catholic Vitamins. And then you came back on about 2 years later, and here we are 4.5 years. And we're so glad to have you back. We have an important topic this time. Our vitamin is vitamin Q for quench. And we might infer from that that we're going to be talking about helping people. And this is a really apropos time as we're about ready to enter into Lent. Lisa, I made outreach to you because I know that you went on a fact-finding trip to Africa. And I read some of the posts that you did. And many of us are familiar with the name Catholic Relief Services. They operate in the U.S. and in Africa and Asia and Europe and other places. And I think most of us know the name. Most of us know the name commonly from the Rice Bowl Project, which is active in so many parishes, and it does a lot of good. But there's other things they do. I was looking at what they do in the United States. Just for example, you know, they're involved in fair trade coffee and fair trade chocolate, and they are involved in the Catholic Rice Bowl, which I've already mentioned. They have a food resource bank project. They have programs for young people and to make outreach to young adults. I wonder, Lisa, is that how they got a hold of you, when they were looking for a young adult to...
Oh, you are so funny. You know, really, the trip was actually as a part of a journalism fellowship. Deacon Tom, it was the Egan, Eileen Egan was a communications professional with Catholic Relief Services, and they have this fellowship, which I applied for, not thinking that a blogger would have a chance in the world of being considered for it. But I was one of the four lucky people to be chosen for that fellowship last year. So that's what it was all about.
Okay. So then how did this begin to unfold, your trip to Africa? And what was the scope of it? What were you going to do?
The Egan Fellowship takes American Catholic journalists to different parts of the world served by Catholic Relief Services. And for those who don't know, CRS is actually the official charitable arm of our bishops, our United States Conference of Catholic Bishops. So they serve in, you know, over 100 countries around the world. And just as we know, Catholic Charities here domestically in the United States serves the poor here, CRS is the arms and the heart of the church around the world. So this journalism fellowship takes writers to different places around the world being served by CRS. And this year is actually, we will commemorate the 20th anniversary of the Rwandan genocide, which occurred between April and July of 1994. So their idea was to take writers to see the efforts that CRS has on the ground in Rwanda, both with reconciliation programs following the genocide and also, you know, a host of other issues that we learned about while we were there. But really, this follow-up on the genocide was the big thing to see, you know, how a country moves forward from a situation where close to a million people killed during the course of 100 days. And, you know, simply how do you move on from that? And certainly CRS has been vital in that.
So let's start with just a couple of the entry type questions. They notified that you that you were selected, and I guess dates were outlined. How long were you going to go for, and what sort of preparations did you have to do?
Sure. Well, we learned actually at the Catholic Media Convention last year, which is the Catholic Press Association, the winners were announced. And so I was so happy to meet with one of my other fellow winners who was there. And so we had, let's see, that was last summer, and the trip actually occurred this fall. So we had, you know, 3 or 4 months to get our shots and do all the medical things that you have to do, make sure that your passport's in order and everything. And then the trip began when we actually went to CRS in Baltimore for a day-long orientation. And then we traveled from there directly to Rwanda, which is a very long journey. Mm-hmm. And so that was a good time to kind of get to know each other and to get to know the CRS staffers that were traveling with us. That orientation was really wonderful because not only did we have sort of a full day of meetings with staffers that would prepare us for what we'd see, but we also got to go to Mass with Carolyn Wu, who is the executive director of, or the CEO actually of CRS, and some of their priests, and they actually have a daily Mass in their facility. So, you know, having that like before we took off was a real blessing. And then it was time to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And how long were you scheduled to go for?
The trip was a week. So if you can imagine, I mean, really for me, it was quite a long trip from California to Baltimore and then Baltimore to Uganda and Uganda to Rwanda. So we were actually in country for about 6.5 days, and it wasn't long enough. If I have the bug now and I really, really want to go back, but that was a good kind of a taste. And, you know, definitely we were able to see a big cross section of the country.
What were your opening impressions when you got to the heart of the tour that you were going to do?
I have to say, you know, I was really kind of surprised. It was more, it was far more clean and organized than I expected, much more modern. We had great Wi-Fi while we were there. The capital city of Kigali, which is the capital of Rwanda, that's where we started our trip. And we stayed in a very lovely hotel there. And, you know, it was just really a great place to start off the trip. Super clean, very modern. You know, everyone was very welcoming. I as I always am when I travel outside of the United States, I'm ashamed of how little, you know, I could basically say hello and thank you in their language. And many of them spoke English and French as well as their native Kinyarwanda. And so, you know, we Americans, we lag behind on language abilities.
For sure.
So, you know, just really very surprised at how wonderful it was. And then that sounds bad to say that, but I think I was unprepared for the modern nature of the culture in the capital city. And certainly we saw more rural areas throughout the trip and, you know, travel on a lot of dirt, very bumpy roads, and saw a lot of small shelter types of houses. But in the capital city, it's a modern, bustling city.
Okay, so I know you took a tour of the area where the genocide took place. Was that early on in your week?
We actually visited a few different genocide memorials. So the situation in Rwanda, for those who don't know, basically was ethnic tribal warfare between two groups living in Rwanda. So this was essentially, you know, neighbor on neighbor, and the fighting and the killing occurred in their very own communities, and oftentimes even in schools and even in churches, Deacon Tom, that these people basically were at war with one another. So the genocide victims have been laid to rest in these various memorials around the country. I believe there are 5 or 6 of them, and we visited 2 of them during the course of our trip. And the memorials are both sort of a museum type of a thing, where you walk through and you learn the facts of the genocide, but they're also a resting place for the victims of the genocide. So we actually, you know, we're walking amidst graves and resting places. And also, actually, they keep some human remains, I don't want to say on display, it's very reverent, but they are open and you do walk amidst them. And I think that's intentionally done as a reminder of the gore and the true ugliness of a situation like that. And I was not maybe emotionally prepared for the feelings that I would have doing that. We were not forced to do that, but I felt that being there and trying to really understand the gravity of this situation, you know, it was really, I had to do it. And so, you know, to walk amidst the broken bodies of people who were hacked to death with machetes, it's pretty emotional, pretty emotional.
I remember.
And it also, well, yeah, I was just going to say, you said, you know, going into this, that I seem changed. And I think it's from moments like that, that you can't go through something like that and not just want that never to happen again.
Yes. I saw some of your posting when you were in one of those locations, including some of the pictures, which disturbed me sitting comfortably in north central Arizona. I mean, it's just, it's one of the reasons I really wanted to make outreach to you. But aside from that horrible history, what can we move into about the work that Catholic Relief Services is doing in Africa?
You know, so with that backdrop and knowing that, you know, this was essentially communities turning on one another and in very close context, you know, when the genocide was over and when peace came to the country, they were left with the rebuilding that has to happen, because this wasn't a foreign, you know, enemy coming in. This was next door neighbors living next door to each other. So CRS was quickly on the ground with relief services, you know, food and clothing and all the shelter that was needed, but also over the last 20 years has been integral in building these reconciliation programs. And this was a large part of what we saw while we were there, which was perpetrators and survivors of the genocide who meet regularly with each other in these facilitated groups to pray together and to really seek healing. And you question, I mean, I questioned for myself, how could I ever forgive somebody who would do the unspeakable to one of my loved ones? And yet, time and time again, we met these group members who, you know, would stand with each other, tell both sides of their story, and then express forgiveness and acceptance of forgiveness, and they do. So certainly it's a work in progress even 20 years later, but what a blessing that CRS has created, you know, a place for these people to do this so that their culture can move together and their you know, society can move on from this.
Mm-hmm. Did you see any public works projects underway?
We did. We actually went to some agricultural projects. Both these, they have kind of community gardening types of projects where they come together, the Rwandans in the more rural areas come together to learn about the, you know, the modern farming techniques and how to grow things effectively given the space and environmental constraints that they have. So we saw that. We also, one of my favorite things was visiting a fair trade coffee plantation and seeing coffee beans on the tree and learning about how they're harvested and meeting the people who grow one of my favorite beverages. Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, on one of the places that I post things, I have a now familiar observation. When people ask me how I take my coffee, I say seriously. And I think you do.
Me too. Yeah. And even more so now that I've met that, you know, and, you know, people may not, you've mentioned fair trade, people may not know necessarily what that means, but it essentially means that when you buy fair trade coffee, like the coffee provided through CRS, you're actually paying a living, sustainable wage to the person who's at work preparing that crop. So unlike other, you know, things that you might purchase that might be, you know, done with child labor or unfairly compensated work, when you buy fair trade, you know that the people who are growing the coffee that you're drinking and that you take so seriously are, can live off of the wage that they're being, that they're earning.
Lisa, over the years that we've been able to work together in a couple different capacities, and you've also met dear wife Dee, you know how much we love children. Did you get close to any children when you were on your trip?
I did, Deacon Tom. I did. If you if you were to look at my photos, you know, I'm traveling with these three other journalists. They were from America Magazine and Catholic News Agency, and the Archdiocese of New York's journalism staff. And then there was me, this blogger. So their photos are all, you know, they're taking very serious, like, shots, and I'm taking selfies with all the Rwandan kids because they love getting their photos taken, and I could not get enough of the kids. They're just a true joy, and that was one of my favorite parts of the trip.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we're entering Lent, and almsgiving is a part of the call of Lent to all of us believers. What would you summarize about the work of Catholic Relief Services that you observed through the course of your trip?
Well, you know, I wish I could say that there would, that we would outgrow the need for an organization like CRS, but we won't. They're available when tragedies hit, like Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines. You know, we saw the bishops there recently, and we know that in the aftermath of tragedy, there needs to be organizations like CRS that can be on the ground, you know, giving immediate aid and relief to people who, you know, need the bare essentials. But then the other work that they're doing, you know, in places like Rwanda, we actually had meetings with the bishops, the bishops' conference from Rwanda, and they rely on CRS even for their administrative and management consulting. So these needs are ongoing. And, you know, when we tie our Lenten fasting to an almsgiving where we can kind of directly see the results of the sacrifices that we make, I think that's a true blessing. And, you know, we have certainly local charities and our own parishes and dioceses to support. But if your heart is really in being of service in places around the world, I really believe that CRS is a great option for giving. And, you know, Deacon Tom, you mentioned Rice Bowl, and one of the great things that CRS has out now is their brand new Rice Bowl app for smartphones.
Right.
And that lets you actually, I've started using it even before Lent. You can actually fast or abstain from purchasing something and keep a running total of the sacrifices that you're making and what items, you know, I used it last week. I was shopping and I picked up something that I thought I wanted to buy. And then I thought about that app and I thought, thought, do I really need this item, or could this be something that I would, you know, give as alms during my Lenten giving? And so I just whipped out that app and put down the amount of that item, and that will be a very small sacrifice for me that will help other people. So use that during Lenten season.
Absolutely. There, Dee and I have been working with Melissa at Catholic CRS, and I know there's prayerful reflections on it. There's meatless recipes. There's stories and videos. So we're encouraging our listeners to go to crsricebowl.org/app and download that and use it this Lent. Thank you for mentioning that, Lisa. I have a few other things I want to cover with you in the time that we have left. And any other thoughts about Africa or the experience for you or CRS?
You know, just that the work that began there is ongoing at CatholicMom.com. We just recently on February 1st launched a brand new feature called Worldview Wednesdays. And these are two weekly posts that we'll be doing every Wednesday contributed by writers to really bring to our readers in an easily digested, simple way, you know, some big hot button issues that are happening around the world. So I hope that people who, you know, have an interest in these world issues will find a home at Catholic Mom, even if you're not a mom, to come and read about, you know, these articles that we'll be sharing each week. And the goal is really, I had this feeling when I was visiting Rwanda of how could I not have known that this was happening, you know, that the genocide was happening. And honestly, Deacon Tom, I was raising a toddler and watching Barney at that time. And, sure. You know, to have these people come and say to you, we thought your country was coming to help us. And you know, of course, we know that the response was not soon enough. So in some small way, if we can alert our readers to hot button issues and things that need our prayer and attention around the world, we want to provide that at Catholic Mom. And that's as a direct result of this experience.
Well, that's kind of a lead into one of the things I wanted to say. My working evangelistic relationship with you started probably 8 or 9 years ago when you were gracious enough to invite me to do some reflections. I do them monthly on Catholic Mom, and you now have, gosh, just a great number of good, high-quality people who are sharing reflections and challenge and lots of other things, humor and words for moms, and NFP comments. But you've also started some work on sharing reflections on the gospel for everyday and I just see Catholic Mom sort of growing into some new areas of wonderful service. Do you want to just say what you've been doing and what your plans are?
Sure. Well, you know, you and our other writers are really kind of the heart and soul of Catholic Mom. It's something that started, if you can believe it, 14 years ago now. And it's just absolutely mind-boggling to me to wake up every day and to see, you know, the beautiful resources that we're able to offer because of people like you, Deacon Tom, that share, you know, your gifts. And we start off every day with this daily gospel reflection. And these are written by our contributors. And for me, it's really kind of my first online stop of the day is to pray the gospel with my fellow community members at Catholic Mom. And those reflections have been a real gift. I just mentioned Worldview Wednesdays. We also have a daily tech talk feature, which is for anybody who's listening to a podcast, that might mean you're a little bit of a geek. We run daily app reviews, and we run a weekly, you know, podcast special, and we feature great bloggers around the Catholic blogosphere. So, you know, the latest in whatever app is coming out, we're featuring those. We do a daily book feature and sometimes multiple ones a day of the latest Catholic books that are out. We do movie reviews. We have a brand new feature, Meatless Fridays, and it's not just during Lent. It's actually all year long. We offer two family-friendly recipes every Friday, and these are from the kitchens of our own writers. So they're recipes you can actually accomplish. and the list just keeps growing. So it's really kind of fun to see, you know, how the site will evolve and, you know, where God's taking us with the work that we have to do. And, And I just feel really blessed every day to be a small part of it. So
it's absolutely wonderful for sure. And who would have thought, I mean, 13 years ago or whatever that number was you used, who would have thought? What a blessing. I want to talk a little bit about your books and then your speaking engagements to come. So that's what's on my mind, and then give you a chance to wrap up. Just remind our listeners about the two books that I'm familiar with and anything that is newly published or coming.
Sure. Thanks for asking. My first book, The Handbook for Catholic Moms, Nurturing Your Heart, Mind, Body, and Soul. And then the second book that comes right after that is A Book of Saints for Catholic Moms. And that's 52 chapters, a saint for you to use and pray with each week of the year. And those books, you know, remain just a great resource for the moms that visit our site. And it's fun, you know, now that they're a few years old, to see new people discovering them. And I do want to say that if a prayer group or a Bible study group reads that book together, as a lot of them do, we've got some reading resources for groups. And I also love to Skype with groups at the end of their time studying either of those books. So that's available. We're not anywhere near Advent, but I have a little book called O Radiant Dawn, which is an Advent resource for families to use around their Advent wreath. And I just finished this winter writing my next book, which will be out in October. That's called The Grace of Yes. It's a book about our need to be open to God's will for our lives. So that's in the editing stages right now. And I'm currently at work on two books with Franciscan that are a little bit of a departure for me. They're actually children's fiction, and it's going to be the start of a very fun, hopefully, series of books that I'll be doing with Franciscan. So stay tuned for more on that and pray for me.
My
fingers can't write fast enough these days.
We were sort of kidding a little bit about this before we turned on our recorded time together. And I think we're going to dedicate this time here and ask for prayers from Our Lady of Perpetual Motion, which will be the invocation that we'll do to to help you. You are really going on and on and on, and it's been such a pleasure to be a little part of the fan base, if you will, and the friendship that we've developed. Hey, where are you going to be speaking in the coming days?
Well, really exciting that I'm speaking at LA Congress, and this will be my fourth time to speak at the Religious Ed Congress in Anaheim. It's 40,000 Catholics really from around the world, so it's very exciting. But the best part of it this year is that our dear friend Sarah Reinhard is actually my co-presenter for two talks there. So it'll be the first time that Sarah and I will be talking together, and I'm just absolutely ecstatic about that. So if you're going to be at Congress, definitely come and find us. We'll be announcing a little Catholic mom meetup soon. So stay tuned for that. And then I will also be in the Diocese of Springfield, Massachusetts, and excitingly in Toronto for a women's conference called Dynamic Women of Faith. I've never been to Toronto before, so that'll be really exciting. And lots of other things, but those are the up and coming ones. And in Nashville, actually, for the Diocese of Nashville's women's conference, too.
Just looking in the rearview mirror for a moment, I know that you were in Florida recently, and a lady that was on the presentation was one of the speakers, was Sonia Corbett, who has recently joined Catholic Vitamins and will be doing scriptural reflections every week in the form of a vitamin. So I was glad that the two of you were able to speak at that event, and I hope you got a chance to meet Sonia.
Oh, she's a dear sister in Christ, and she's going to be such a beautiful gift for your listeners. What a totally amazing woman she is. So I can't wait to tune in and listen to her. And she's a real gift. So,
well, Lisa Hendy, thank you for helping to share your travels and your experiences for CRS as you went to Africa and seeing how alms given by people in response to the gospel are used in that country. And as I said at the beginning of our time together, we know CRS is active in so many other places in the world doing such wonderful work. And can we just say that it is a blessing to know you, and we thank you again for coming on Catholic Vitamins.
Oh, thank you, Deacon Tom. And please give Dee a hug for me. And I just continue to be such a fan of the work that you're doing. So I feel very blessed by our friendship and, you know, by your spiritual mentoring for me. It's always been a real gift for me.
Our prayers, Lisa. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with a missionary moment. Desert dryness tightened our skin, burned eyes and throats, left a gritty feeling in our mouths. Sister braked her rattling old Jeep, and we looked into a culvert. Native Americans here gathered brush for shades, laying branches side by side on wooden frames they hoisted above on four supporting tree limbs. These structures awaited some gathering or ceremony. Little oases of shade on the dry blanket of desert. Sister drove me to visit families, some of whom welcomed us with glad eyes. But I could sense an edge in this place. Dogs circled and nosed us. Homes plain as shoeboxes had just several rooms, but also had TV sets on for the kids, who peeled themselves away to stare at us. One toddler hid behind a couch and kept popping his head up from behind. He shouted a curse word, then hid, giggling. The young mother with a long black ponytail just smiled and handed me a palm-sized basket she was weaving from moistened straw-like strips. An elder on a porch drew her face into the most unfriendly expression I'd ever seen, and when I raised my camera to take a picture of a street, Sister pointed to a lone man nearly too far away to be seen and hurriedly gestured for me to tuck my camera away. That day, I was seeing the mixed reaction that people of faith can receive just in living out their daily vocation. Mission building takes all forms and shapes. It is times of true joy, but bringing Christ to others can be a lonely and dangerous business. What causes a missionary to choose such a life? Sister and I prayed the rosary at church, and there, people were involved, devout. At one point, Sister squeezed my hand and whispered, "What do you think?" Later, we shared a meal in the cozy kitchen at her residence and then sat in a living room that reminded me of my grandma's house, worn and comfortable. We talked into the night. In her white blouse and veil, the nun told of teaching children their catechism, visiting the sick and homebound, how depression, unemployment, addictions all had such a pull in the community, and how ministry often meant driving people many miles into town for medical appointments. Hours spun by. Darkness settled over the desert. Used to the rush of traffic outside my apartment in the city, I felt the quiet press in. Sister leaned forward and talked about certain rituals and practices in her area that were far from Christian. On this Indian reservation in the West, missionaries had friends and a solid core of faithful. But Sister also told of washing up dishes in her kitchen at night and receiving threatening phone calls. "You will be a victim," one voice said. Traveling for Extension Magazine and meeting missionaries like this nun convinced me. Comfortable Catholics must stir up missionary fervor because Christ urges us to spread his word to the corners of the earth. And our missionaries need prayers and support to survive. They carry on their efforts because people everywhere have a spiritual thirst that the Lord himself is longing to quench. And the missionaries, too, thirst to follow God's plan for their lives and to make him known. Sister told me about opening her door one night to a stranger with long hair, beard, raggedy clothes. She offered him whatever help she could before he went on his way. He paused, looked deeply into her eyes, and said, "You are greatly blessed." At that moment, she felt Christ had paid her a personal visit. As we hear stories of missionaries and their people from America and abroad, perhaps we can better offer our prayers and help. As we develop a living, practical friendship with our missionaries and the people they serve, we might discover we were thirsty for such a friendship all along.
Wow. Mariana gave us a missionary moment. It gave us another view, another side of missionary work.
I know. It can be, as she suggested, sometimes scary and perhaps a bit dangerous in certain areas. Although, Dee, just a reminder, you and I have been involved with Madonna House up in Winslow, Arizona. Winslow is a very heavily addicted area, if I may use those words. There's a lot of addiction. There's a lot of drugs. There's a state prison nearby. But the Madonnas up there, the six of them, have been there. How many years did you tell me?
It's probably in close to 60 years now, I think.
And their ministry is so loved and respected in the community that even the bad people must get the word from those who would share about this. Don't ever do anything to those women. Don't ever do anything to disgrace our community with Madonna House. And they, thanks be to God, and knock on, dip hand in holy water.
Yes.
They have been safe all these years. So, dear, anything else that we need to cover in this segment before we bring up another one of our great correspondents?
No, we better keep moving.
All right. Here's Fergal O'Neill, our deacon from Ireland.
In chapter 19, verses 28 to 30 of St. John's Gospel, we read the following. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, I thirst. A bowl full of vinegar stood there, so they put a sponge full of the vinegar on hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. St. John tells us that when Jesus cried from thirst on the cross, he was fulfilling the words of Scripture from Psalm 69. They gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. Jesus' death was no mere accident of fate, but a direct fulfilment of the will of the Father. Yet the thirst of Jesus continues. It's not quenched. And no one has understood this nor experienced this more acutely than Mother Teresa of Calcutta. In one of her letters titled Varanasi, she writes, My dear children, Jesus wants me to tell you again how much is the love he has for each one of you, beyond all that you can imagine. I worry some of you still have not really met Jesus, one to one, you and Jesus alone. We may spend time in the chapel, but have you seen with the eyes of your soul how he looks at you in love? Do you really know the living Jesus? Not from books, but from being with him in your heart? Have you heard the loving words he speaks to you? Ask for grace. He is longing to give it to you. Never give up this daily intimate contact with Jesus as a real and living person, not just an idea. How can we last even one day living our lives without hearing Jesus say, I love you? It's impossible. Our soul needs that as much as the body needs to breathe the air. If not, prayer is dead, and meditation, it's only thinking. Jesus wants you each to hear him, speaking in the silence of your own heart. But be careful of all that can block that personal being in touch with the living Jesus. The hurts of life, and sometimes your own mistakes, may make you feel it is impossible that Jesus really loves or is clinging to you. This is a danger for all of you, and so sad, because it is completely the opposite of what Jesus is really wanting and waiting to tell you. Not only that, he loves you even more. He longs for you. He misses you when you don't come close. He thirsts for you. He loves you always, even when you don't feel worthy, even if you are not accepted by others, even by yourself. He is the one who always accepts you. My children, don't have to be different for Jesus to love you. Only believe you are precious to him. Bring all you are suffering from to his feet. Only open your heart to be loved by him as you are, and he will do the rest. You all know in your mind that Jesus loves you, but in this letter, Mother wants to touch your heart instead. Jesus wants to stir up our hearts so not to lose our early love. Why is Mother saying these things? After reading John's letter on I Thirst, I was so struck. I cannot tell you what I felt. His letter made me realize more than ever how beautiful is our own vocation, how great is God's love for us in choosing us to quench that thirst of Jesus for love, for souls, giving us our special place in the church. At the same time, we are reminding the world of his thirst, something that was being forgotten. For me, Jesus' thirst is something to imitate. Jesus must be the one to say to you, I thirst. Hear your own name, not just once, every day. If you listen with your heart, you will hear and you will understand. Why does Jesus say, I thirst? Well, this is something that's so hard to explain in words. If you remember anything from Mother's letter, remember this. I thirst is something much deeper than just Jesus saying, I love you. Until you know deep inside that Jesus thirsts for you, you can't begin to know who he wants to be for you or who he wants you to be for him. How to approach the thirst of Jesus? Only one secret. The closer you come to Jesus, the better you will know his thirst. Repent and believe, Jesus tells us. What are we to repent? Our indifference, our hardness of heart. What to believe? Jesus thirsts even now, in your heart and in the poor. He knows your weakness. He wants only your love, wants only the chance to love you. He is not bound by time. Hear him. Hear your own name. Make my joy and yours complete.
Oh, my heavens. Oh, my heavens. What a wonderful reflection from our favorite Irish deacon, Fergal O'Neill. Thank you, Fergal. Great thoughts, great thoughts. I preached at all the masses at our parish this weekend. As a matter of fact, I preached at four masses. That's probably why my voice is a little bit strained. But one of the things that I was preaching about was the call to holiness and the call to love. And we can sure do that in the Catholic Church for sure, particularly by staying close to the sacraments and the Lord Jesus. Well, not to be forgotten, we have our newest correspondent, Sonia Corbett, standing in the wings, ready to share her thoughts on this Catholic vitamin Q for Quench.
This is your weekly Bible supplement on Catholic Vitamins, with scriptural evangelist Sonia Corbett.
Greetings from Tennessee. I can't tell you how excited I am to be sharing this regular time with so many gifted Catholic teachers and other special friends with Catholic Vitamins. I also want to just mention that if your Catholic Vitamin this week is late, it is my fault. I hope you'll pardon me. As the Catholic Vitamin newbie, I was a little bit late getting in my submission this week. And the submission this week is about the Catholic Vitamin Quench. And immediately what I thought of is 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the spirit. But upon a little bit more research, what I discovered is there are several verses in both the Old and the New Testaments that talk about quenching. And in five of them in the Old Testament and six in the New Testament, they all actually are similarly talking about quenching this fire. The idea of fire comes up repeatedly combined with the word quench. Now that word's going to be different for each translation, but from the original Greek, it was translated quench in several times in my own translation. And like I said, many of those times involve the fires of judgment. One of those is in Numbers 11:2, and often in hell as well. Isaiah 66:24 is one of those places. Jesus himself actually used this word twice for the fires of hell. So we see the word quench paired with the word fire in the scriptures quite a bit. The other times that the scriptures speak of quench with this fire is of the Holy Spirit, as in 1 Thessalonians, which I quoted to begin with. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the Spirit. That's capital S. So it's the Holy Spirit. Do not quench the Holy Spirit. That's a great rule, although sometimes it's difficult to discern. But in any case, because the scriptures seem so different, you know, you have sometimes that it's used as in judgment and sometimes as in hell and then other times as in the Holy Spirit, it makes us think, wow, is that a contradiction? Well, no. What we discover is in a thorough study of the word quench with the word fire, especially fire, we discover that both the fires of judgment and of hell and even purgatory and the Holy Spirit are all the same fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29 says, for our God is a consuming fire. wow, that just sends me into shivers, because that leads us especially into my most favorite verse in the whole Bible in which the word quench is used, and that's in Song of Solomon chapter 8 verses 6 and 7. Set me, God says, as a seal upon your heart listener, and as a seal upon your arm, almost like a tattoo. For love is as strong as death. Jealousy, God's love is like jealousy, and it's as cruel as the grave. Its flames, this love, the flames of this love are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, nor can the floods drown it. Wow. So in the Song of Solomon, we have this beautiful play or poem. And so God is speaking to us in poetry and in beautiful literary forms. And he says, and even actually in this verse, in verse 6, he uses the poetic form of his own name when he says, its flames, the flames of love, are flames of fire, a most vehement flame. That comes from the poetic form of the word Yahweh, which is God's proper name. And so God speaks to us in terms of poems and poetry and love, and that love, his love is so strong and so jealous for our attention and our focus, that it's as strong as death, and that many waters can't quench it, nor could any flood ever drown it. That's how powerful God's love is for us. So we can see through a full study of the scriptures that the fires of trials and tribulations, purgatory, and even hell are all the same fire, the fires of God himself and his action on the soul. So that purgatory is not necessarily a place, but it is the person of God himself. So for full teachings about God's presence as a fire in the soul and its ear, visit pursuingthesummit.com for the Soul on Fire or the Burning Bush audio CDs. Until next week, this is your handmaid, Sonia Corbett, Scripture Evangelista of the Catholic Vitamin family.
Well, Sonia, it's absolutely wonderful that you've joined Catholic Vitamins, and you have definitely become a part of the family already. And I'm hoping that you'll make the rounds of our other correspondents and get to know them as we have. We are so blessed to have you all. Dear.
I've got one piece of feedback.
Just one?
Just one. But yes. It came all the way from Italy.
Is this the one from Pescia, Italy?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
From Joe Capolello.
Hi, Joe.
Capolella.
I think it's O, isn't it? She's got an A. Okay. I apologize. Okay.
So anyhow, she said, hello, Deacon Tom. It was addressed to you, of course. Thank you very much for your birthday wishes. And yes, the roses haven't arrived even this year. You're doing that again, aren't you?
I'm checking with UPS to find out where they are, or DHL or something. All right, go ahead.
Do you have to go to confession every time you promise roses to somebody?
Yeah. And Father says, are you going through that again? Are you doing that again? Okay. Go.
Anyhow, she said, I'd just like to add, I'm still listening to the podcasts and finding them interesting. Got left behind for a while, but now I'm just missing out on the last one, Vitamin P. She's getting caught up.
Mm-hmm.
I've had to rearrange my everything schedule due to new events happening at this age and stage. My husband retiring, my youngest son graduating from high school, and just recently my eldest son broke his leg.
Oh, yeah.
So they are practically occupying all of my free time. And Jo also has a request of us. She wanted a list of the Catholic singers that we've hosted on Catholic Vitamins.
We've had quite a few, for sure.
Yeah, so I actually put a list together, and I'm going to email that to her. But I want to make the offer that if anybody else would like that list, just let us know, and we'll send it to you, however.
Yeah, we're not talking about a list of singers. We're talking about all the guests that we've had on Catholic Vitamins. That list is...
Oh, I've done that too. But I mean, for Joe, I did just a list of singers.
Oh, all right. So if you'd like a list of all the guests we've had and the show name or the vitamin that we had, is that right? Isn't that on the list? No? Just the guest?
Just the guest, I think.
Okay. All right. Well, that's partially helpful. But they could do a search on our website. Yeah.
But I mean, we do have an index too. I do have an index, which I keep up. Which has everything. I think it's got the vitamin name and the guest name and the date that it was posted and all that.
All right. So if anybody has any reason they'd like to go back and spend a little time in history looking at Catholic Vitamins or listening to old shows, they're all there and waiting for you. Just send an email to D and say, D.
Just send it to CatholicVitamins at gmail.com.
All right, okay. Speaking of CatholicVitamins at gmail.com, that's where you send your guesses in if you want to guess for the upcoming vitamin. And D, what is the tease for the upcoming vitamin?
Next vitamin will be vitamin R, ends in N, 8 letters.
So once again, take a guess at what the word, the vitamin, the Catholic vitamin is going to be, given the clue that D has just given you. And send your guess to Catholic Vitamins. We've got some nice prizes in the wings waiting for people to win. So we'll put your name in a basket if you've got the right guess. D, I want to do a closing word about the Rice Bowl app and CRS, the Catholic Relief Services people. You go to crsricebowl.org/app, APP. And as I said earlier, I think when I was talking with Lisa Handy, there's places in there where you can do reflections, nice reflections, Lenten sacrifice goals. Lisa Handy talked about that. Meatless recipes and some stories and videos. So Lenten Company provided to you by the CRS folks. It's a good thing to do. And D,
I think we're about ready to go out, and we're going to close with some music by Audrey Assad, who has been a guest on our show. The song is Restless, and it's from her album, The House You're Building.
And you know, that song, Restless, is sort of appropriate given the hunger that we have inside of us, the thirst that we have inside of us, and the idea of this week's Catholic Vitamin Q for Quench. So once again, a previous guest on Catholic Vitamins, Audrey Assad. D, love you, and thank you for being with us.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will, through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land,
grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Whisper.